And now, the tradition continues as WABC presents John Gambling with the mayor of the greatest city in the world, Mike Bloomberg.
Well, if that's the introduction from Johnny Donovan, it must be a Friday. And yes, indeed, here we are again on the John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning. A Friday with the sun and reasonable temperatures and lots of things to talk about.
Absolutely. There's never a shortage of that here in this big city of ours.
Can I ask you a favor?
Sure, I'll do the best I can.
Can we stay away from Anna Nicole and Brittany?
You're the one who brought it up.
I have no knowledge, interest, or anything else in the subjects. Now, there is a story.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. You obviously have heard about the story.
So it's kind of hard not to. The papers seem to give a little bit of coverage to both. But I think the story of the week has got to be Bernie Williams, who I've always been a big fan of. And I have a Bernie Williams shirt. With his number 51 on the back, framed here in City Hall. He gave it to me. I don't remember why, but he gave it to me when I first got into office, and I've always been a Bernie Williams fan.
Well, there you go. So
he's sad if he doesn't play in pinstripes this year.
Well, we have spring training in full swing, or just about in full swing. It won't be long before the first week in April shows up, and so do the baseball teams. So it's right around the corner. Let's see here. Where do we want to start? We always like to talk about the weather. Let's talk about the weather as it relates to crime stats. The latest ones, or at least as we approach the end of February, coming out of the police department, Ray Kelly, it's awfully – it's almost amazing how encouraging these numbers
are.
I hate to jinx it
by talking about it. Things are going in the right direction. There is a theory that when it's cold weather, people stay inside – and crime goes down. I'm not so sure that people that hold up banks or shoot each other really do that kind of an analysis. And in any case, if you remember, January, when crime was down dramatically as well, was a particularly warm month.
Right.
So, you know, there are a variety of things. I think the first line of credit has to go to the NYPD, who are doing their spectacular job. Secondly, we do get a lot of cooperation between other parts of crime fighting. They're the district attorneys and the courts and probations and correction and the public. So that all matters. And then three, it just, you know, if it's luck, we'll take it.
Yeah, well, I don't think it is luck, but I think I've been asking this question for the 6 years we've been talking, and we've been watching the crime rates descend on the graphs and on the streets dramatically, that yes, indeed, the police are important, the tactics are important, but the economy must be important too, and it must have something to do with the people that normally might be out pulling the guns and pulling the heists.
Well, I don't know that drug dealers consider the unemployment rate when they decide to go into dealing drugs, but the truth of the matter is that a better economy does generate the tax revenues we need to pay our law enforcement people. It does have fewer people out there struggling, long term, you come back to the same things in terms of preventing crime and making the streets safer, and that is education, education, and education.
You're talking about school education.
School education. It's the kids. The kids who don't get a good education turn out 20 years later to be those who get in trouble and cause a lot of the crime. And we're paying the price for bad education 20 years ago. I don't want people living in the city 20 years from now to look back and say they didn't make the investments in schools that we needed so that their kids can earn a living and know how to conduct themselves and know what's wrong and have moral values, all of those things.
A poll in the newspapers this week taken of the lower-income and middle-income New Yorkers. Interesting that I think some 1,500 people were asked the questions. They said that schools and dropout rates were their highest priorities.
And they should be.
Of course they should be. And things like terror kind of fall down, you know, terror prevention fall down the list a little bit.
Well, yeah, and terror prevention is something that you really have to leave to the professionals. The only thing that you and I can do as private citizens is if you see something that looks strange, pick up the phone, call 311, call 911, bring it to the local cop on the beat's attention, and then get out of the way and let the professionals do that. We have 1,000 cops devoted to intelligence and counterterrorism. We have cops, NYPD cops around the world. I was in Jerusalem or in Tel Aviv and met the cop that works for New York City who's assigned to Israel. I went to Amman, Jordan, and I spent some time with the lieutenant who is our police officer in Jordan. We have others, you know, a dozen or so around the world. We're doing all of those kinds of things. We're always fighting for more Homeland Security monies. But as I've said many, many times, we are spending the monies that we think are needed to keep the city safe and then trying to figure out how to pay for it. And if we get the feds to pay for more, that's great. But we're not doing anything to fight terrorism that we should be doing just because of money. And it's always been annoying. The federal government typically doesn't pay for anything you've already bought. And you can understand why they'd have that policy, but how other mayors wait to use the money, I don't know. I don't think we can wait. I think we have to worry about that. But terrorism's not the thing you should worry about. Street crime is much more likely to make you a victim, and that's down dramatically. That's good news. But there, with street crime, you're more involved in the community. You see kids getting into trouble. You can try to do something about it. You know, if you're a parent, you should look at your kid and say, where is he going or she going, and making sure you know when they go out, you know, to hang around with their pals, who those pals are. Are they the kind of people you want your kids to hang around with? Making sure that the family gets together and talks and teaching values, those kinds of things. That's what you and I can do as private citizens.
All right. How about the dropout rate? Some 40-some percent don't make it New York City
schools. Well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is the dropout rate has been declining. The graduation rate has been going up. In the last 4 or 5 years, we really have made significant progress. That's the good news. The bad news is that there's a long ways to go. And some people would argue that we don't count it the ways we should. We give credit for certain things and not others. But we haven't changed the way we measure it, which is the most important thing. So whatever measure we use, things are getting better. But why are they getting better? Small schools make a big difference. You know, you can't tell an adolescent what to do. You have to convince the adolescent that it's in their interest to do something. And, you know, parents, as young kids say, I'm going to tell my kid to do this. When they get to be teenagers, parents realize that that's just not the ways you can make any progress. Otherwise, you just start a fight, which you don't need. But we are making the schools more interesting for the kids, more relevant for the kids. Reducing crime in the classroom makes a difference. Kids feel better about going to class. Making sure we get rid of weapons. I saw somebody the other day was criticizing us for trying to keep weapons out of the schools. They said,
How could you be criticized?
You know, you got to wonder what goes through people's heads. If you try to stop them from bringing in guns, they'll think that you think they're bad people.
Oh, police.
That's what I said, too, incidentally. Police, we're going to keep doing it.
Mr. Mayor, we have run long in our first segment here. Let me take a break. We'll come right back to Mayor Michael Bloomberg at 77 WABC. 77 WABC. We continue with Mayor Michael Bloomberg, John Gambling, and you right here at 77 WABC. Mr. Mayor, everybody likes to moan and groan about taxes, no matter how high, low, or wherever they end up on whatever particular scale. But this week, I know you probably read with interest the New York Times article about New York taxes as compared to other cities. And we fall right smack dab at the top of that particular list. Philadelphia, number 2, $9 and some cents, which include local and state taxes. Philadelphia is, to give comparison, $7.16.
Not good. I mean, you know, nobody likes taxes, you're right. and they dissuade people from doing things that you would like them to do. Tax policy sometimes is used to encourage people to do things. I mean, you encourage people to build a plant in one place to get jobs there, or to drill for oil in one place and not others, to cut emissions into the air. We use tax policy for a lot of things, transferring wealth and stopping dynasties. But the real answer here is that we are using taxes to buy services for the public that the public wants. And what worries me is, number one, the taxes are too high, and number two, when the taxes, when the amount of taxes that we collect goes down because the number of real estate transactions goes down or the economic level activity declines, we're left with expenses that we probably can't afford. Now, what we did this year is try to build a little bit for the future. This city has a roughly $50 billion liability, unfunded, for not pension benefits, but health care benefits for the municipal workforce that we, in contracts with the unions, agreed to provide, and we have to do that. But we've never put money aside for it. We've always said, well, when the bills come in over the next X number of years, whoever is working in the city will just have to go out, reach into their pocket, take some more out of their paycheck, and pay for it. We don't do that with pensions. We fund pensions in advance. And so, the marketplace may go up and down in the stock market a little bit, but fundamentally we have put aside money for all of our future pension benefits. We've not done it for health benefits. And so between last year and this year, we've put two, and we're proposing to do another half of $1 billion into a fund towards that. That's being fiscally responsible. But those are tax revenues, and that's something I think probably does make some sense. We've put some tax revenues aside, $1.5 billion, for what I think will be a more problematic year in fiscal 2009, because I think the economic activity in the housing market's going to slow down. Can't keep going gangbusters forever, and we've been very lucky. It's done better than anybody predicted. But we have to make sure that we can pay our bills down the road. So the question then is, okay, how do you reduce taxes? Well, this year we are reducing taxes, or we've asked the legislature for approval to reduce taxes by roughly $1.25 billion. That's $250 million on the $400 rebate. That's $750 million in reducing general property taxes for everybody. It's ending sales tax on all clothing and footwear, not just clothing and footwear, under a certain level. This would be no matter how much it costs. That'll help bring jobs into the city. And it's also a lot of small business taxes, because we need businesses to want to come here. But if we want to be competitive down the road, we've got to find ways to live within our means and reduce the tax burden, and that's going to be a great challenge. So, and it can't be just done on the income side. It's going to be done on the expense side.
Is it fair to say that the differential, and I'll use these numbers that I have in front of me, the difference between New York and Philadelphia in this Times article, 562 is the New York number on the local side. Philadelphia's was 409. $4.09 per $100 of gross taxable resources. Basically that differential is because of population and medical expenses? Is that a fair statement?
It's because, the monies that we take in, we basically spend. This year we're putting some aside, as I just said, for future obligations. But fundamentally, we provide more services and more expensive services here than other places do. The reason why a lot of these cities around the country have a lot lower taxes and states have a lot lower taxes is they do a lot less. Now, there are people that say government's doing too many things. Government should not do that. And that's what democracy is all about. We can debate that and decide what we really want. But make no mistake about it. We've got to pay for it. And I've always thought that the federal government is not acting responsibly when they allow all of these deficits. Now, they say, well, we'll grow our ways out of the deficit because lower taxes encourage economic activity. Lower taxes do encourage economic activity, but I don't think most reputable economists, if you go back to the Laffer curve, most reputable economists don't think that you'll ever grow your ways out of it. That we, if we want more services, in the case of a federal government, it's support for agriculture, it's support for the defense of this country, and the war obviously is costing $600 million every year, more than that, actually. It's all of the things that we look to the federal government for. That costs money, and I think that the federal government, if it provides them, should raise the money while we go along. Social Security is an obligation for the future that is going to come back to bite us very badly. We talk about a Social Security fund. Truth of the matter is we spend the Social Security monies that come in on lots of different things. There is no real fund, and we down the road, who's ever going to be working when you and I retire, they're going to have to pay our benefits. And the trouble is, with a low birth rate and not enough immigrants coming into this country, there aren't going to be enough people paying taxes to pay your retirement
and yet,
and mine.
And yet nobody in Washington wants to do anything about this.
Well, because it's controversial and the politics of, you know, we just have this gridlock on both. And this is not a partisan thing. It's on both sides of the aisle. I don't see
it is partisan, unfortunately, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, neither party wants to look the public in the eye and say, hey, Houston, we got a problem. and it's not going to be easy to work out of it. It's going to be painful and expensive, and you're going to have to make difficult choices. And the way government makes choices is they say yes
exactly.
to both sides.
Do I remember correctly your budget, the last one that you just presented a couple of weeks ago, $30 billion?
The budget of New York City, it's a little bit difficult to play with the numbers, but roughly $56, $57 billion.
Well, $57 billion.
Now, a lot of it is transfer, a federal government program. They give us money. We then spend the money. The taxes that the city raises are of the order of magnitude of $30, $35 billion of that. But we spend the New York City's budget with 300,000 employees is bigger than the GNP of many countries. And certainly it's bigger than the budgets of almost every city in the United States, but almost every state as well. There's a handful of states that have a bigger budget, New York, California, a couple of others.
I was just going to say that New Jersey, Corzine said yesterday, $33 billion for New Jersey.
That's for the state. I mean, we're so much bigger than that. I was in Jordan. The GNP of Jordan is $11 billion. Our budget for the city of New York, and it's the city's budget, not GMP, the city's budget is $57 billion. So you don't realize how big we are. You know, I was talking to Press Secretary Stu Loza the other day, and he pointed out if you take a look at the New York City public school system, we have 1.1 million students. That's more people than live in Detroit. So, you know, there's something every day. If you want to criticize, you will always find something to criticize in anything that's that big. The school system's doing an amazing job, but, you know, there's always going to be minor hiccups no matter where you go.
No question about it. I got to take a break right now. Mr. Mayor, sit back for just a second. Take that second cup of coffee. We've got a break here at 77 WABC on the half hour with George Weber.
77 WABC.
John Gambling with you, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, all here at 77 WABC. Friday get-together as usual. Mr. Mayor, I think it was last week we had a telephone caller ask the question about lifeguards, and I see this week that you've opened up the envelopes in the employment office.
Every year it's the same thing. We need lifeguards, and every year I give the warning, please don't go into a pool and certainly not into the river and ocean unless there's a lifeguard there. And sadly, every year there's a handful of people that don't listen, and there's a great tragedy. But lifeguards save lives.
Yep, and you need a bunch of them. Good job.
Yeah, and I don't care how good a swimmer you are, or, you know, you never think it's going to happen to you. But some of the waters off the shore of Long Island are really treacherous. There are these riptides that can take you out quickly, and no matter how good a swimmer you are, you know, it'd be nice to get up tomorrow morning and in your own bed and not have the tragedies that we keep doing.
This week and a week prior to this, the new governor, Governor Spitzer, has said that he was going to review the World Trade Center Freedom Tower. He did. He, yourself, and John Corzine, governor of New Jersey, had a little ceremony, a little get-together, press conference. Things are going to move forward on that. He also got involved with the name listing thing, which has been sort of a thorn for you.
Well, the governor said that he was interested and wanted to get briefed. You know, he's a new governor, and he a lot of this is on land, for example, that is owned by the Port Authority, and he, along with John Corzine, runs the Port Authority. There's the MTA there. There's state offices that we're going to put in the Freedom Tower. I couldn't it's 100% appropriate that he does. He and I had a long conversation about it, and I think he his press person said afterwards that he is up to speed, and that this is a decision that, while you can't please everybody, it's after 5 years of talking about it, it is a rational ways to, the way I phrased it was to describe to future generations the enormity of the tragedy that struck this city, and at the same time, that there were individuals and they were all in this together. That's what America is really all about. And I thought that was the basis of the design, if you remember, that Michael Arad came up with, that everybody that got killed made a sacrifice for America and for freedom-loving peoples. And I think we have a right ways of memorializing and honoring. It's what we're going to do. And the governor's press person said, you know, correctly, this is something that is up to the executive committee of the World Trade Center Memorial Foundation, and this is what they voted to do. And we're doing well in terms of fundraising. We still have a ways to go if anybody wants to make a donation, small donation, large donation, that all adds up. We've got to raise roughly, we started out saying $300 million. I think $350 million is what we really should raise.
Because where are you now?
Last time, $250, $270, something like that. I've got to go check. You wait until you actually get signed agreements before you announce, but numbers like that. Fundraising is going well, but we have a long ways to go. And I want to make sure that we have some money for a little endowment so that they can, whoever runs the museum and takes care of the memorial, will be able to do it and keep it in a manner that we really want it to operate. And having an endowment will help that. And, you know, there's always a chance of a little bit of cost overrun, so I want to have something built in so that we don't, at the end, have to make some decisions that would not give us the quality of a memorial that we want. I don't want anybody to have to skimp. I don't want to waste any money, but I don't want to do things on the cheap either, where 20 years from now things will be falling apart and we'll say, oh, you know, look, they use substandard materials, or they cut corners here or there. I don't want to do that.
One of the there's a myriad number of projects that are involved down the World Trade Center site. I think I saw a number not too long ago that there are 59 different projects going. One of them, and maybe this incorporates a number of them, but is this transit hub that makes a lot of sense when you look at the plans. But it is way over budget, and I know it's not all the city. The PA is involved in the state as well, but it's way over budget.
Yeah, the city really doesn't have anything to do with it. We're involved more with the Fulton Street station, where all of the subways come together. This is really the Port Authority, where the path tubes would come in. Santiago Calatrava, who's a brilliant architect, designed a beautiful building. Now Port Authority's got to figure out a ways to build it in a world where construction costs keep going up. You know, we brag about how much construction's going on here and how many construction jobs, and isn't it wonderful? And yes, it is. But the downside of that is that cement costs more, steel costs more, labor costs more. You can't get things done as quickly because the subcontractors have more business than they can handle. So, you know, it's a little bit of good and bad and everything. But I think the Port Authority will figure out how to do it, and it will be built. And it certainly is one of the centerpieces. It's one of those things that you'll look at when you're down there, and you'll be proud that we had the foresight to do it. You know, I'm sure when they built Grand Central Station, one of the great buildings in New York City, people probably said, oh, you don't need anything so elaborate, and look, it's going to cost a lot of money. But, you know, 100 years later, you look back and you say, glad they did it.
Yeah, aren't we glad we have that?
And if you go downtown, incidentally, you know, I don't know if it's 59 projects, but on the World Trade Center site itself, you're just amazed at how many cranes and shovels and people, and it's really amazing. It is all coming together. It's all going up. It's all going to work, and not just in the World Trade Center site. Is equally as important, or more important, arguably, is the rest of all of downtown, which is now a big residential community. Just go look at that. They keep building apartment buildings in Battery Park City and across the street from it, and then all downtown. There were stories in the paper today about on the east side, Pier 17, and economic development by the old Fulton Fish Market. There's a new park going up over there, the new Staten Island Ferry. Terminal is done. The new subway stop outside of it looks to me like they've been going on forever. But, you know, these things are hard to do, and they're chugging along. It'll get done.
Switching gears here, the city council had some proposals. Well, they make proposals all the time. This one had to do with non-citizens voting in New York City. What do you think about that idea?
I think that the essence of citizenship is the right to vote. And if you're not a citizen, you shouldn't have the right to vote. I think that becoming an American citizen should be the dream of an awful lot of people around the world. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people want to become an American. And it requires you to swear allegiance to this country. It requires you to know something about the history of this country and pass a test as to how government works. And if people want to do that, that's great. And what do you get for it? You get the right to determine your own leaders. And sometimes the public makes good decisions. Sometimes they don't. I hope the voters of the city of New York are happy with the mayor they picked. But, you know, they are the ones that did the picking here. And a lot of people around the world wish they had the right to determine their own future. In the United States, you do. And it's because the citizens, not enough of them, but they exercise their franchise. They go out and vote. But I think you should become a citizen before you have the right to vote.
Here, I could agree with you 100%. What's happening with voting machines? What's the latest on
fiasco? You know? Any other word you want to use?
Okay, because, I mean, it just seems like an easy thing to do to me.
You know, I'm not part of the process. It's a state body that has to decide which voting machines can be used in the state, and then we go buy them. But it's hard to believe that you could do a worse job at doing this. We can lose a lot of federal monies because we had to get voting machines done in time, which is not a chance. New machines with not a chance of us doing that. It's like the gang that couldn't shoot straight. There's no other ways to phrase it. And for this coming November. And probably the November after that, we'll be using the old machines. I don't see how we can possibly replace them in time. You have to pick, you have to put it out for bids, you have to train, install. I mean, it's a big process, but the State Board of Elections is the one that's really holding this up. And I think the reason is it's a board that, like even – and the City Board as well, incidentally, and is guilty here as well. They have two parties that split up the patronage jobs, and you should have an independent group that goes out and does what's right for the process rather than a group that sits there and trades one advantage for their party for another advantage for the other party. It's a number one partisan – political squabbles that we shouldn't be having.
We are absolutely right. Need to take a break. We've got the phones open. Some folks would like to ask you some questions. If you'll wait just a second, we'll get to them. 1-800-848-WABC. Coming right back. 77 WABC. Mayor Michael Bloomberg and John Gambling at 77 WABC. A couple of minutes at the end of the program, we leave to you at 1-800-848-WABC is our telephone number. We're going to start, Mr. Mayor, with Richard in Connecticut. Richard, you've got the mayor. Go.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good
Congratulations.
Morning.
You're doing a great job in New York.
Thank you.
I did want to ask, though, about this article on pension tension from USA Today on Wednesday, talking about the built-in inequities, I guess, between the private and or the public and private sectors on pension funds.
Private pensions generally have been being cut back, and municipal pensions generally have been expanding their benefits. That's a trend not just in New York, but a trend throughout the country. I think the ways to understand why that happens is you look at who is paying and what their interests are and who makes the decisions. In the case of corporations, the stockholders, the bottom line gets hurt. It's a more competitive world, so they're trying to reduce their costs. In the case of the municipal world, for example, in New York City, pension benefits are voted by the state but paid for by the city. So the guy that's making the decisions to give more benefits isn't the guy that's paying. And that you, what would you expect to come out of that other than more generous benefits? Whether or not the benefits are the difference between attracting good workers or not, you can debate that. I've always been a big believer in paying your employees both in salaries and in benefits as much as you can afford, and then having them be happy and be flexible and work very hard. That was what my company did, and I think we do that to some extent in the city. We've raised teachers' salaries by 43% in the last 5 years. Why? Because education is so important, and the results of that are we've had 70,000-odd applicants for 5,000 vacancies last year. You don't know what's the right level of pension benefits. What I've always found troubling is that it's the state legislature that votes pension benefits, and the city taxpayers are paying those benefits, and we should be able to be in control of our own destiny, and maybe we'd give bigger benefits and maybe we'd give smaller benefits. But that would be a negotiation between the municipal employees represented by their unions, most of which in the city are actually very well led, and the city. But instead what happens is we try to negotiate one thing and they go right around us up to Albany and get something different. Also, pension benefits are a little bit different than negotiating other things because the pensioners aren't necessarily just the employees. Some of these pension funds cover people who've already retired and aren't covered by new contracts with the union. So it is complex, but there's no question what the trends are. Municipal benefits going up, corporate benefits going down nationwide.
All right, June on line three, Mr. Mayor. June, really fast, what's the question?
Okay,
I got a time problem.
I would like to know if the new Arabic public school in Brooklyn, the Gabrin International Academy, is being funded by taxpayer dollars.
Absolutely. It's another one of these language schools. We have a quarter of a million Muslims in the city. I don't know what percentage speak Arabic, but we have a lot of immigrants who speak Korean and Arabic and Spanish and Russian. And we try to have schools in those languages so the kids can learn English and learn subject matter at the same time. And so they'll become productive members of our society. And this is just another one of those schools, but it's a public school.
Do we have a Korean school?
Absolutely.
Chinese
schools? Sure. A lot of Korean spoken in the city. The Korean population's been growing very rapidly.
All right, Mr. Mayor, it always goes fast for me. I hope for you as well.
We've been doing this for a long time. And we'll keep doing it for another 3 years.
I certainly hope so, my friend. Thank you very much. Catch up with you on Friday. Have a good week.
You too.
All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg here this morning at 77 WABC. Straight ahead, Chris Wallace.